Please enter your PIN followed by pound.
Hello, everybody. This is Terry Brown, the co-host of the Win Free Monday Night Radio Show. We welcome everybody on BBS Radio and on the conference line, as this is a simulcast between BBS Radio and the conference line, where people can call in and they can ask questions. So I want to introduce Win Free, the star of the show. And Win, are you there?
Don't call me the star of the show. Jeez. God, what an insult. Okay?
Terry, I love you.
Way to go, Terry.
Subtlety is your middle name.
You know what? The fact of the matter is, Terry is the star of the show, and I'm just the master of ceremonies. Well, she's the star to the stars, right?
That's right.
Is that right, Terry? Oh, well, I'm putting her on the spot. Well, if you happen to be listening for the first time, this is a, as Terry said, a simulcast where things that are impossible happen.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And Lord knows we need impossible things right now on planet Earth. Many of you who are listening to the call are watching our world go through states of transformation, breakdown, tsunamis, terrorists. And the interesting thing is as the author of The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I started writing about all of that in the year 2000 when I was studying the channelings of David Wilcock. And I, when I was writing that, saying, can this be true? And it was not so obvious what would be happening on our planet at that time. And yet this group soul started saying it through Wilcock, through his channelings or transmissions or messages. And here we are, and we're in the middle of it. And we're in for what's called a dimensional shift. And the most important thing here is, if all the stuff that I've been exposed to is correct, that we need to stay in the center of the storm. And to stay in the center of the storm, it's not easy to do that by yourself. We need energies of each other to hold the space. When you're just by yourself, you're fragile. Everything can pull you this way, that way, and the center of the storm is a crucial place to be, but you move slightly and you catch the winds and you get blown out of the center. So really, the purpose of these calls and the work I'm doing is to help people stay in the center of the storm. And it takes practice, it takes discipline, it takes high intention.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
And it takes friends in high places. We're lucky enough to have that. And it takes each other. It takes loving connection with each other. And there's a lot of things going on around these calls that are helping people to do that. And if you judge by the results, it's working. It's working for the people that make it work for them. Nothing works unless you make it work. But that, and making it work means reaching back. It means putting an effort forward. Now, some of you are finding the things you need to stay in the center of the storm in other ways. Or you use the information on these calls and then take it into the energies you're working with, and you can hold it. And that's wonderful. You know, this is something that anyone can take it at their own level. And there's a lot of levels of connection if you choose. And there's a lot of levels of information that can help you understand things and operate better. But it's really important that you make the intention to stay at the center of the storm. And a lot of times when people get that idea, uh-oh, I better get in the center of the storm, the first thing that comes up is fear. What if I can't get there? Well, that's just part of the path. You have to go through your fear. You have to keep taking one step in front of the other and do what it takes. One of the best programs we have, if you're one of those people that feels disconnected, is something called Team Shift. And it's good. Everything we do, I look at it as experimental, because I don't know if it's going to work until it works. And so we've been running a Team Shift program for, I guess, about a year or longer. And it has room to support a lot more people. And the way it works is we have small groups of 3 to 5 to 6 people meeting every day for 10 minutes. And they call in the light. And calling in the light is when we invoke the higher forces. So if you're going to be in Team Shift, you should at least be on our calls enough to say, maybe they're really calling in the higher forces. Otherwise,
I'm on the conference line.
Oh, did he knock you off again?
No, he didn't. I dropped the phone.
Oh.
Anyway, I'm here.
All right. Well, at least you were you weren't muted.
No. Progress.
Now, you know, the fact that we're doing this is a semi-miracle because Terry and I are both pretty, in some ways, how would I say it? Neither of us have had the easiest time functioning in the physical realm for most of our lives. And here we're doing something, we're creating something, and people are paying attention. And I don't think of myself as different from you. I just had these amazing experiences that doing these calls is my way of taking responsibility for the experiences. And when I knew they were real, and it had to do with communications with intelligences in other realms that could help us, help each other, help the planet, and the understanding of how the universe works. And some of the stuff we present on this call, on these calls, I don't believe has ever been put out to a public audience, and perhaps not even to a private audience, because there's things that we're learning that you couldn't figure out scientifically, you couldn't figure out by studying history. It has to come from what I call interdimensional sources who are outside of time and have observed and connected with us through time over tens of thousands of years. And learning from their perspective what evolution really is, what it means to evolve as a human. Now, there are many ways that people have talked about evolution. In spiritual terms, they talk about God realization. They talk about enlightenment. They talk about being clear. There's many words to, from a human perspective, that relate to level of advancement that most humans don't have, but might like to attain to if they knew it was possible. And we've discovered a whole new way of looking at that particular phenomena, and which otherwise is somewhat of a mystery. It has been for me. I mean, I read about that when I was young, and I said, oh boy, someday I might get God realized, and I'm just going to walk around and glow all the time. And I'll feel perfectly great all the time, and I'll know everything. And maybe some of you have had that idea. And so, you know, you go to this weekend seminar and sit at the feet of this guru or that guru, and somehow, even though there's some really amazing experiences, you come back to yourself. And I used to say, well, when do I get to glow all the time? When do I get to God realization? And then I have this experience of communicating with this intelligence that says they're a group soul, and that they call themselves the Elohim. And throughout history, or many times in history, the Elohim has been one of the names for God. And when I asked them about it, I said, well, we don't really like being worshipped. We'd rather be your friends. We're just in another dimension, and we can impact your realm. And it's when we do impact things, it's very powerful on your level. And people tend to give up their power when they see that kind of power demonstrated. But it's not our desire to have you give up your power. They may correct me. Whenever I talk for them, I may not get it exactly right. But we can help humans to evolve. And there's some rather important aspects of evolving, because we don't see beginning points and end points. So we only see our little life, and we're born and we die, and we see our friends and we read the newspaper. But when I say beginning points and end points, I mean the beginning point of where we started from. Where did we come from? How did that start? What happened from then till now? Why is reincarnation in existence? What happens when you die? What are the different outcomes that can happen when you die? Where do you go? Are there different places you can go? We have explored all those things with a fine-tooth comb. And many of the things we've learned, because I'm part of the learning here, I don't know these things, fit in to history, fit in to religion, but from a point of view, it doesn't have to do with belief or faith. And so if we want to become God realized, and we're talking to a source that we thought of as God, and they say, we don't want to be God, we want to be your friends, it's like, where do we go from there? Well, the goal is to have friends in high places, because in the biggest sphere of the way of looking at things, the universe is one being, one energy, which our sources call the law of one. We all derive from the same energy, and at one point we were undifferentiated and not separated. And then we became separated, and then we forgot And then there's the path backwards to that energy, which we go through all these many lifetimes to go somewhere. And so where are we going and how does that work? Well, the topic tonight was a continuation of DNA and its connection to the cosmos. And we've discovered a lot of things in this ongoing discussion about DNA. And it's always extremely fascinating because we're going into a realm that humans can't ever figure out on their own. And so we have to see how the answers make sense in a real level. So here's some of the things, as I recall, from our previous conversations in this relationship to DNA and soul evolution. And then they can correct me if I got something wrong. But DNA could be looked upon as a microcosm for the entire universe. DNA is the basic building block of life. All life forms start with DNA. And when I say a microcosm for the universe, it would be if we were able to study DNA, we could also learn a lot about the universe, which is the bigger part of it. It's called microcosm and macrocosm, where something very small is the reflection of something very big. Well, if that's the case, that means on some level, we have the potential for the universe inside of us. And how does this potential work? DNA has 12 strands. And strands are either open or closed. Now, I am in no way a genetic scientist, so I may get this wrong. I'll do my best just through my own understanding. When a strand of DNA opens, it opens you up to a certain aspect of the universe or a certain aspect of yourself. And the first seven DNA strands approximately represent the first seven chakras. And the next five represent expansions outside of your body. In fact, they said the eighth one represents the place above your head, about a foot. And so everyone has different strands activated at different levels. And what activates a strand of DNA? How does it get activated? Well, you have a chakra system, which represents areas of your body where there's energy centers that are open or closed to various degrees, like your heart chakra, your power chakra, your heart chakra would be your fourth chakra. Your fifth chakra would be your throat chakra. Your sixth chakra would be what they call your third eye. And your seventh chakra is the crown chakra at the top of your head. And then there's the pineal gland, which has something to do with all of this. And when a chakra is opened, it brings in a certain energy through that chakra, which then impacts the strand of DNA associated with it. So we all know the experience of occasionally feeling love. And when we feel love, that's the fourth chakra. When you feel that bursting of your heart, it doesn't have to be bursting. It can be much more neutral than that. And for some people, it comes like that the first time it starts, where you feel that radiance. This is not an emotional feeling. No, that's a different kind of love. It's just a radiance around your chest. And that when you do that, it connects with other people, and they feel it. And when they do that, it connects with you. We all know how it feels. Hopefully we know. We've had the experience of being in an environment where there's a loving energy and your heart spontaneously opens. When your heart opens, it starts a thing that opens up your fourth chakra. Now, normally, the interesting thing I've learned, this is a great piece of understanding, is that the fourth chakra, it's not like it grows and stays open. It's like you need to create pathways in your life to keep that chakra open consistently, because it can only respond to the pathway. So therefore, you go and you have some kind of experience where it opens, and then you do something else and it closes, and then you do something else and it opens again. So if you want to keep it open, you have to constantly have experiences of a fourth chakra nature. One of the best ways to do that is to have a wonderful relationship, because now you have somebody that is always holding a space of fourth chakra loving energy to you, and your fourth chakra stays open all the time to that degree. Now, that doesn't mean all relationships are fourth chakra, because they're not. I'm talking about a good relationship. A good relationship will hold that energy open. And oftentimes it's up to you to inspire that energy in the person around you by listening to them, by caring. When you start to truly care, other people start to truly respond. And then the other chakras open by the use of the energy of that chakra. For example, the fifth chakra, which is the throat chakra, if I'm talking, then I am into my throat chakra. I talk a lot, so I get a chance to keep the fifth chakra open. Now, if I talk and I'm loving, I have the fifth chakra and the fourth chakra open. So I'm leaving a fairly constant keeping of those DNA strands open. But as soon as I switch directions, and as soon as I do something which is of a lower level, or be around a lower level type connection with someone else, which I sometimes do, those chakras close. It's not like you advance. It's a constant flow to keep chakras open. So every moment is a chance to open chakras. Now, you can also open your chakras not only with other people, but with the energies from other dimensions. And as you learn to feel the energies of these group souls, the Elohim group and the Ra group, there's a kind of love that you can depend on that is bigger and sometimes more dependable than a personal relationship, because personal relationships can come and go, and people can change. And then when you've learned to open up your fourth chakra in a personal relationship, and then that relationship falls apart, oftentimes people get devastated and hurt, and it can take them years to recover. So this bringing in the ongoing energy connection with these group souls, feeling a sense of loving and with them, is a way to keep your chakras open. Now, everyone has different potentials and different growths depending on their own, where they're at. So when you decide you want to open your chakras, when you decide you want to evolve yourself, you need to start moving your intention pointed towards higher realms, towards higher connections. And I personally think the easiest way to do it is by making the connection with these group souls, because not so easy to find things in the world that you can depend on. You can find groups you can go to that will lift your energies, and it's good to do that. But then you have to go back again. And you can maybe, if you're lucky, you'll have a good friend, and that friend and you will have a heartfelt connection. And you call them up every day, and every day you call them up, you move into that connection again. And that's good. It's not like an either-or situation. It's not like, oh, God, the Elohim loves me. I don't have to live my life. That's not true. You're in a body, and you should be having, you should, or you could, or perhaps there's a possibility that you could be having fun down here and having great friends and having great experiences. But oftentimes, it's not so easy to have that in this realm. And people get very blocked. So these are all little looks at what it takes to keep our chakras open and to keep our DNA activated. Now, you know, they tell me they're on the calls and they're paying attention to you during this call, even while I'm talking about this. So there is a double communication. There's the communication of what I'm saying, and there's the communication of other dimensions. Take a moment, let's just be silent, and say, be open to being loved interdimensionally. Be open to feeling the flow of love through your energetic system without anyone present to love you. Let's feel that. Now, if you walked into a room, some of you felt it. Some of you felt a certain kind of reverence. You could see how religions and churches got started, because if someone was around that was helping people tune into that connection, and then people are all in a room and say, let's tune into that connection, it's very silent, it's very reverent, and it's opening up everyone's DNA. And ultimately, you have to be active to keep this all open. You can't just be passive. It takes some active promotion on your part. Otherwise, it just dies. You can come into these calls and feel the energy, but ultimately, you have to create, in this realm, your own manifestation. And that is the path to mastery here, to be able to manifest, hold this energy open, and help other people hold it open. And, you know, it doesn't matter how you do that. You can be sitting as a receptionist in a legal office, like Terry did, and hold the space, and other people just feel it. You just change the energy. And then when you do that, you're changing the energy for yourself. I mean, you could go into the same office and it could be a nightmare. It could be a bunch of attorneys fighting with each other. So it's learning that, what was that famous movie, If You Come, They Will Follow? I've had to learn that. I said, God, I'm coming to these calls every week, three times a week. How do I know they're going to be there? I don't want to do this myself. I can't do it myself. And so I had to keep coming, and every time I would come, they'd be here. And it wasn't even required that I was in a good mood. Sometimes I wasn't in a good mood, but I still came, and they showed up. Sometimes I didn't want to do it, and I still came, and they showed up. And that's an amazing thing to learn. Why don't you try every day to take a moment of meditation or listen to the opening of our Sunday grid healing, where I do that meditation, and shut your eyes and do it at the same time and say, if I show up, will they come? And see if they do. They will. They will. This is how you do it. Don't just say, where are you, where are you? Make a space and say, let them know you're going to be there every day so that they can adjust their own schedules, so to speak. And we have this program called Team Shift, which works for people. It's been working really well for people, where a small group of people meet every day at the same time. And they've learned that when they show up, the energies show up. And it doesn't matter how you feel beforehand. It's like it's an evolving process. And as you learn and train yourself to tune into these energies, you just start to do it everywhere. But it sounds simple, but it's not so simple, because every individual has patterns, resistance, disbelief, all kinds of things that would make them say, this is not possible. So I suggest that if you do any of these things, you do it as your own experiment. Uh-oh, my phone is going to go dead. And that's going to close our connection, EBS Radio. Just a moment. Let me see. Oh, wait, it's charging again. Maybe we can save this, okay? You know, I have ordered batteries for my phone. I ordered them the second time, and hopefully they'll be here tomorrow. I didn't get them the first time because my battery has gotten weak, and it's really embarrassing that I keep having this problem when we do these calls. I think I'll take the phone and plug it into another computer. We operate, in case you guys don't know it, on a pretty small budget. And some of you have been sending us donations, and that is very much appreciated. And, you know, keeping on a small budget allows us to be totally, how would I say it, totally, no one controls what we do here. And for this kind of work, it's very important that no one controls it, because then it loses its, you know, its authenticity. So I don't report to anybody. And so when my cell phone battery goes dead, and you say, why didn't you do this and why don't you do that? This is not yet at the place of a high degree of professionalism. And you'll have to excuse us, but I will say we do the best we can. And so far we've been doing, it's actually fairly impossible and very rare that somebody's doing this in this realm, so they say. And so I thank all of you who have been supporting it. And occasionally you'll see a donation button. And if you see it, $3, $4, $5. And if you're well-to-do, we appreciate thousands of dollars, but that's never happened yet. But it also makes us feel that what we're doing is working, received. Because otherwise, what do we need to do this for? We're certainly not getting rich on it. And we are changing people's lives. I know that. And I get emails all the time from people who have synchronicities, who have had healings. And there's no other explanation for it except that it's real and it's working. So on that note, let me just see if my battery's charging, because I don't want to go... Okay, we're charging. And we can probably go a little long tonight, because I don't think they have another show after us. My battery is...
Well, I wanted to remind you that I'm not on BBS Radio.
No, but you're on BBS Radio through the conference line, okay?
Okay.
In other words, as long as you're unmuted, everyone's muted and you're unmuted, so you're a moderator. So you're on BBS Radio by nature of being on the conference line, as long as I'm still on BBS Radio, okay? So,
right. If your phone goes dead, you're not, right?
Yeah, that's why I wanted to make sure it charged, because otherwise I could have called in on the Skype line. But it's charging. It looks like I'm okay. You know, what it is the battery's gotten so low, so weak, that it goes for about 40 minutes instead of a few hours. So if I don't keep it on...
You have a backup plan in case it fails?
Well, the backup plan, it's not going to fail. It's charging. I can see it.
Okay?
Okay?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, it's not going to fail. I mean, if it failed, what would we do? I'd go on Skype and I'd call BBS directly, but it would screw up everything. So we're not going to fail. We'll be okay. So I'm talking a lot now, and I didn't mean to talk so much, but we can go a little longer. And I'm just like the opening act here, and we're gonna bring our guys in through Terry, and we will get some of the refinements of how all this DNA chakra evolution works, because on one hand we're gaining knowledge, and the other hand we're getting critical information about how to keep ourselves open, because our planet's in a great transformation right now. Some of you have noticed there's people running around in fear, the fear of what's going to happen. And, you know, it's silly to be afraid of dying, because if you're going to be afraid of dying, then you may as well be afraid every moment of your life, because you're going to die. I'd be afraid of not knowing what happens when you die, not knowing the rules of the game. We're learning the rules of the game. We know historically the many civilizations that have fallen, that Atlantis went into the ocean, that Mu went into the ocean, that there was a planet called Maldek that exploded into asteroids. And so we know that Hitler killed millions of Jews. There's horrible things that happen in the universe. And one of the things we're learning is how to navigate in this realm and be as successful in this realm as we can. And the other thing we're learning is that there are other realms, and to make sure that when we leave this realm, that we have the best transition possible. And that's probably more important than gating this realm. I mean, as the Elohim would say, and, you know, after talking to them for this period of time, I start, and those of you that are on the line often start to get this perspective, you know, well, this is just one lifetime in many, and this is one planet in many, this is one opportunity in many, and everyone is eternal. And we go on and on. So once you can really integrate that, it gets rid of a lot of fear. I mean, you know, when your time comes, your time comes. But the key is, we do go on, but there are different future potentials. And how do we create the best future potentials for ourselves? And I think in this area, that faith comes into play, because we're not there. We can't prove this to ourselves. Although the fact that we've been doing this for so long, the fact that there's been so many synchronicities and miracles and information, really it's hard to explain how it's all occurring if it's not real. So on that note, I'm going to go, well, let me just say one thing. I was talking about team shift. For those of you that feel that you would like an ongoing support system to help you keep your energies open, then go to teamshift.messageaday.net and do all the paperwork. And I'm supposed to charge for it, but I don't charge for it. Someday I might surprise you and charge. But the key to this is I want to make the indelible point that we're not doing this as a business although on some level it has to ground as a business to expand, to reach more people, and to support ourselves, the intent is way higher than just to see how many people we can get sending us money for any particular thing. And teamshift.messageaday.net. And the people that come in every day and say hello to each other on the phone and call in the light are having phenomenal experiences. And one Monday, we'll bring some of them on the line to share what's happened to them as a result. And one of the things is, don't feel like you have to be together to do this. Nobody's together. We need each other, and this is the way. Just try it. If it doesn't work, quit it. You know, if everyone's nasty to you, quit it. But don't worry about, you know, one of the things about feeling bad about yourself is it's hard to take action, and you think people are going to judge you. And try it out. This group is really well conditioned to not make judgments, the people that have been around for a while. And see if, you know, it's an opportunity for you, maybe that one phone call to Team Shift and participating can shift your path and help you keep your heart open. So now we'll call in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through our bodies, into the center of the earth. Did that fast. And right now we invoke a group energy, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, to join with our energies. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present? Terry, you're muted.
Yes, this is Fa'an, and we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is May 16, 2011, and we reach out and we are available to each and every person that hears this call, to each and every person that hears the audio, to each and every person that reads the transcript. And we are available to answer your questions. You are looking into the greater universe and connections with the universe when you bring up the connection of the chakras and the electrical systems and connections of the body and how it is connected and located within the earth sphere, within the plane of the earth, which is a lower frequency than the higher realms. Do you have questions?
Well, I gave kind of a synopsis of my understanding of how things work based on many of our conversations. And did I have that fairly well correct? Did I make any errors in the way I described that?
You have it fairly well developed. And we check back over your talk. Give us a moment. Your talk was fairly accurate in the way the chakras connect and the DNA connects and the opening of the chakra systems and the closing of the chakra systems, we have a couple of comments. One of them is that in the third dimension, the relationship between the chakra system and the surroundings is geared to respond. The chakra system is geared to respond as conditions warrant, and you are totally right that the opening of the chakra is more available to the individual when they are connected with the loving environment. However, as a creature who is living in the third dimension, it is also through experience, through the animal nature of the body, set to close when conditions become difficult as a protection for the emotions and the survival of the delicate connections within the human body. Give us a moment. Therefore, the opening and closing is in alignment with conditions in the surroundings. So you are entirely correct that one will have a more open chakra when they are in a condition that allows them safely to expand and communicate and relate with another. The relation of the DNA is that the DNA is responding to high frequencies at get a condition where the higher vibrations of other external bodies, star systems, other planets have an influence upon the DNA and help form and hold into place the DNA.
In order to receive the influences of other star systems, then the requisite chakras would have to be open, yes, for those influences to in-stream?
The chakras don't have to be open or closed for the DNA to respond to the other star systems, to solar bodies. It is affecting the body at all times, and the energies are strumming the DNA as though it were a string on a guitar. So the body is under the influence of these systems, whether or not the chakra is open. However, there is an influence of the DNA on. There is an influence caused in the DNA by whether the chakras are open or not. Also, as when the chakras are open, it allows for a greater in-streaming of the energies from the star systems, from the other planets. And the individual then can become more psychic and perceptive and intelligent when his systems, his chakra systems are open and he is more in alignment than with the star systems and can take in greater information and greater energy.
When we talk about the star systems, how far is the influence in go? Like, I mean, is it the closer star systems, or is it the star systems in the entire universe that are impacting the DNA?
The star systems, mainly in the solar system and then in your galaxy, although there is influence by other star systems. Any star system that moves light into your sphere.
So what we're talking about here is the basis for astrology, yes?
Yes. This is what astrology is based upon, and as the individual is born, it is set into the individual's body, and the individuals are dancing with the stars, so to say, in that they tend to ride in on a zodiac sign, and the channel does not understand what she's saying now. The zodiac sign, so that they may receive a familiar alignment.
Mm-hmm. Now, at an earlier time in my life, I did astrology charts, and it was one of the first things that opened me up to a greater look at the universe, because I was skeptical at first. And one of the things that was very compelling to me was, in my skepticism, sometimes I would meet somebody of a certain astrological configuration, and immediately it reminded me of someone else who had the same configuration, and I would guess their sign. And I started to realize that they were moving energies in me. The other person, based on their astrology, would move energies inside me that I could feel, and I started to identify the energies that were moving in me and then guess their sign correctly. And that was an amazing experience, because I could feel the energies, even when I was skeptical. So in trying to understand that, in my logical mind, it was like each of us carries the imprint of the star systems in the way they were at the time we were born. It's almost, I don't know how, honestly, what's the word? It's like an imprint in your system, or in, I guess that would be in your DNA, and that other people carry the imprint of their systems with them, and when people come together, those imprints immediately start interacting, and we respond in very unique ways depending on the person who's in our physical sphere at that time. Is that?
Yes. Yes, it provides a grounding for each individual, and they feel, although this is at a subconscious level, their DNA is oriented to that particular configuration, and they are operable within that framework and use it as an anchor, a grounding, and a reference point.
Now, we know there's 12 strands of DNA. What is the difference in the way astrological configurations affect DNA and just opening to the environment affects DNA? For example, does the astrological configurations affect all 12 strands, or does it affect the higher strands or the lower strands? It's hard for me, you know, obviously there's only 12 variations, but I think there's sub-variations in that, which I don't quite understand. But how does that work?
The astrological configuration interacts with the DNA and aligns the DNA in accordance with the path and pattern of energies in streaming from the star systems. The Give us a moment. The DNA responds to the energies in streaming from the star systems and resonates the resonant nature is greater in the strands of DNA that are used in connection with the chakra system that is known and to a lesser degree in the other strands is resonated by the higher energies and frequencies as the individual expands their connection with all that is. More of the strands can vibrate more strongly and bring the individual to realizations and perceptions they would not have otherwise had.
Now, I also have this idea that there's a very unique way that the planet Earth imprints DNA or connection. Like, if you took a human to another planet, how would, or when we had people walking on the moon, if that was actually true, when that happens, what's the impact of the shift of the human body from the Earth place to another place?
There's a very great influence upon the body is when an individual does not have the strong interaction that is in the connection with the Earth plane, then there is a whole different pattern of the integrity of the muscles and the cells of the body as the influence can be lessened depending upon if the individual's in space or if the individual's on the moon. And with the lessened impact of the Earth and its attractions does not then exercise the muscles. Individuals, as they exist in their daily life, just by virtue of the fact of being on the Earth's surface, get exercised in the resistance their muscles feel to standing, to holding erect. And This helps shape and form the muscles and keep them in their conformation.
Mm-hmm. Is DNA the template for all life forms in the entire universe?
Hold on to. Have to turn the alarm off. Give us a moment. Yes, the DNA is a template that is throughout the universe. It is formed from the resultant spinning energies of the body, the celestial body, wherein the individual is developed, the body systems are developed and live.
We don't hear you. There we go.
We did the channeling. We answered your question. Did you get any of the answer?
Oh, yeah, I did. I thought you were continuing. Sorry. So DNA is the template, so that means all alien life forms, Greys, Orions, all have DNA-based systems. And if somebody is from a certain planet and they move to another planet, can they do that successfully and stay there? Does their DNA readjust to the new planet? Or do they have a limited time to be there before they start breaking down, for example?
It depends upon what body they inhabit. Some bodies over time lose their template and as they lose their original template and move away from it based upon what it takes to survive in that plane, they may run into difficulty with surviving even on that plane or in on another planet. However, an individual can, if they are flexible, adapt and can move into life on another planet. The gravity may be stronger. The DNA may develop a slightly different characteristic to adapt to the new location.
Thank you. So I think the bottom line question really is, how do you make this useful as a human? How do we adopt this information about DNA and all the influences so that we can have the best experience? Oh, another question I didn't ask that you didn't address. Let me ask this question. I put out the idea that a human, by opening up to the energies of feeling loved by the group souls, could open their DNA. And is it possible for a human to open up to such a degree that they become more detached from the need for human experience to do that? Or is there is always the need for human experience? Well, you could take a look at Mother Teresa, who was very dedicated to service. But she still had human experience because she was in service all the time to humans. So How about some expansion and understanding of that particular concept?
When an individual leaves this realm, they may take the memory of the DNA at a more thinner level, at a more ethereal level, and may then use it to help form their heavenly body, which is similar to the human body, and they can move into the different realm and have different characteristics than other individuals that are in that realm.
So the DNA is still activated when you die in a different...
That is correct. The memory of the DNA moves with the individual and they manifest in the other realms based upon the memory of the form and substance of their DNA experience.
Now, we know many people look like their past lives, but some people look like their mother or their father, and some people, of course, most people don't know where their past lives. How is the appearance regulated with all the different variations of DNA? For example, astrologically, it said when people have certain astrological configurations, their faces are fatter, their bodies are taller and thinner. So is there a way to understand how that mishmash works that turns into a physical experience?
Everything is in the now. Everything is created over and over again in time. It is created in the now. And all of the factors of the past experience move into the creation. When an individual is born, they may look more like their parents, but as they move with the body over time, they may bring the past memories of the DNA into their body, and the body may, as they grow older, look more and more like they did in their past life.
I see. And so every life that a person has would be like that. If they happen to be a resonance of a certain particular past life in that life, if the duplicating patterns of that life, they would start to look like that person. And if they started to duplicate the patterns of another past lifetime, they might start to look like that person. Yes?
That is correct. Generally, there are similarities in the lifetimes between how the individual looks with the body form, the facial features, and the height and the weight of the individual. In the past, they have gotten comfortable with that form and move it into their present form.
I see. Thank you. And so the final question is, if you're going to recapitulate, if a human is going to take advantage of this knowledge and they want to be at the highest level of evolution possible and they want to activate their DNA, it's probably a complex answer and it's going to be different from person to person to person. But if you want to tackle approaching that, I'm sure people would appreciate understanding what they can do to keep their level of evolutionary advancement at the highest state.
They can keep their heart open and be flexible, as flexibility in attitude and tone allow them to move with the changes and to upgrade their DNA as the energies in streaming into the planetary system can strum, so to speak, their DNA and open it up to the higher energies and can open it up as it does that to inner communication with others and make the availability of remote vision available, of telepathy available, as if one remains in a closed-off condition, they shut out possibilities for higher connection with their surroundings and with others.
I remember a teacher I had many years ago said that he said the first law of spirit was acceptance. And it seems to me acceptance is another word for flexibility. In other words, if you're in the middle of an experience, it doesn't mean you don't have to choose another experience, particularly if it's an uncomfortable experience, to allow yourself to flow through that, to be flexible, to work around it. Sometimes I tell people, like, water flows around rock. You have a difficult relationship. Learn how to flow with it, to accept it, but not let it trap you. And that's a very fast way through things. When you reject an experience you're in the middle of, it seems like you perpetuate it and it doesn't change. It's kind of a trick because people say, I don't want to accept this because it's painful. But if they are always in a state of resistance, it seems like they keep that circumstance alive through the resistance.
That is correct. It is like more ethereal manifestation of an item. A rock in the middle of the road is very solid. Something that one does not want to accept is also similar to a rock in the middle of the road, a hindrance to the passage of the individual through the difficult time. As if they don't accept it, then it remains there for as a obstacle to them. However, acceptance does not mean liking it or going along with it even, or siding with it. It does not mean that. It means simply acknowledging that it is there. The obstacle is there. The thing one doesn't like is there. And by acknowledging it, that it is there, one does not have to like it or take it on to be their own. They can simply acknowledge it, and as such, they give up the obstacle and can move around it and can let it go and can then readjust their life without it, without the obstacle. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I would imagine that would hold true for any obstacle. Like, I don't have a job. I have a difficult relationship. My family doesn't love me. I'm sick. I have this problem in my body. Anything like that, if you can accept it, you give yourself the power to move through it. But if you're in a constant state of resistance to it, you let it perpetuate more.
Yes, when one rejects it, it remains there as a fact of life. However, if one can take it apart, analyze it, see what it is, what it consists of, then often the obstacle can simply dissolve and they can move past the obstacle.
And even on a cosmic level or on a planetary level, even on the things that we look at that are negative in this realm, negative groups, negative agendas, there is a similar process of flowing around them and not resisting them, rather, because resisting them would give them actually more power. Yes?
That is correct.
Yeah.
When one resists something, that is what they generally get.
There's a saying that goes, that which you resist persists. So,
yes, that is very true.
Okay. Well, we've gone for a long time, and I thank you for being with us tonight and hanging in on this really interesting subject. And I hope our audience has liked it and appreciated it and gotten something out of it. And do you have any closing words before we say goodbye?
We send love to each and every person on the line. You have undertaken a difficult job to manifest your lives in the third dimension, and it is a playing ground for much opportunity for learning and strengthening your soul. Adonai.
And thank you, everyone who is on the line and listening, and we'll see you next time. This is Wing Free and with Terry Brown, bringing forth that information. And our sources are conglomerate energy of, they identify themselves as part of the Ra group and part of the Elohim group. And they're two group souls that have played parts in the history of our planet, they say, in terms of helping us grow and evolve. And we're honored to be able to bring their voice to all of you who are listening. And good night to all.
You stop conference recording. Your conference recording has stopped. All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you very much. That was very interesting.
Were you able to follow it?
Yeah.
Did we lose it?
And then I got to read it again.
Anybody?
Thank you, Ron, Wynn, and Terry.
Kitty.
Thank you. Good night, everyone, and thank you.
Good night.
Good night.